Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Nun Hey. We are holding on daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. We're at the Gemara right after the Mishnah on daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. So a little bit of catching up to do. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, leading Nishmas's mother, Golda Bas Simcha Aleha Shalom, as well as by Chani and J.J. Hornblass in memory of Chani's father, Meir Penstein Zichron Levracha, Meir Yosef Ben Avram, and Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do is the Brice is going to be major elaboration on the Mishnah, which was a discussion about why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows these Avodah Zarahs to continue to exist. So the Brisa is going to discuss three different cases where Hashem allows nature to continue to work, even though it's being used by Balei Aveira. Then the Gemara is going to explain, or the Brisa is going to explain, the unique nature of Hashem's jealousy. What exactly is Hashem jealous of? Why is he of the Avodah Zarahs? So, and where does he direct that jealousy? Then the Gemara is going to discuss why it seems that Avodah Zarah sometimes works, that it sometimes heals people. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow that to happen? And that discussion brings us all the way to the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph. And then that's a bit of a turning point in the Masechta. When we get to the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph, now we begin the discussions of Yayin. So the Mishnah is going to talk about at what point is grape juice considered to be yayin for yayin nesach? When in the winemaking process do we assume that it goes from just being the juice that drips out of grapes to actually being yayin as far as yayin nesach is concerned? The Mishnah is also going to talk about tumah concerns in wine production and in bread production, that you're not allowed to be gorim tumah. So how that limits one's behavior. The Gemara is going to have three different challenges to Shitas Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that as soon as the juice starts flowing from the grapes, it's already considered to be yayin. So we're going to challenge Rav Huna three times, particularly from our Mishnah, where it does not seem to say that way. And Rav Huna is going to... What? I said it at the beginning. Yeah. Both of them, yeah. So where Rav Huna, what was I saying? So three challenges to Rav Huna. Again, Rav Huna says that as soon as the juice starts flowing from the grapes, it's considered to be yayin. We're going to challenge that from our Mishnah, where it seems not to say that way. And Rav Huna is going to defend himself. The final defense of Rav Huna is going to reveal to us that there's a reason for all this confusion, and that is that there was a Mishnah Rishona and a Mishnah Achrona, that the Chachamim at some point changed their minds about when the grape juice is considered to be yayin. So that brings us all the way into tomorrow's daf. So let's begin again right after the Mishnah on daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Tanur Rabban, we have a brisa that tells us about the following conversation. Shalu Pilosofenes Hazakenim Baromi. The philosophers, the Chachmei Umos, asked the Ziknei Yisrael the following question in Rome. Im Elokeichem Ein Ritzon B'Avod Zchavim. If Hashem really hates Avodah Zarah so much, as it keeps on saying in the Torah over and over again, Mipnei Ma'inu Mevatel, why doesn't he just destroy it? So Amr Lahem, so the Chum responded, Ilu Davar Shein Olam Tzarech Lo Hayu Ovdin, if all the people were worshipping were things that the world didn't really need, then Areu Mevatel, then he would be Mevatel. But Areu Ovdin, L'chama V'lalvana V'lakochavim V'lamazalos. So Yabid Olam Mipnei Ashotim, they're worshipping things that the world needs, all the constellations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can destroy the entire world because of these fools. That doesn't make any sense. Ela olam kiminhago noeg v'shaltim shekilkul asidin litein esadin. So the world will continue to go as it goes, and these crazy people that decide to ruin everything, they're going to have to pay for their actions. They're going to have to suffer the consequences of their averos. A similar idea, dover acher, not with regard to Avodah Zarah, but with regard to a different Avera, Haresha Gazel Sa Shel Chitim, if a person steals a Sa'a of wheat, V'halachu Zra'a Bekarka, and he goes and he plants it in the ground, Dinu Shlo Titzmach, really it shouldn't sprout, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not allow it to begin to grow, El Olam Kiminhagu Noeg, but nature is nature, and Hashem put that in place, V'halich, and it continues to go, V'shotim Shekilkul Asidin Litin Asadin, and the fools who decide to violate averos, they're going to pay for their actions. Dover acher, a third example, Hare Shabbal Eishas Chaveru, a person commits a sin of our rayos, and he's bawal and eshes ish. Dinu shalot esaber. Really, Hashem should not make it that a baby could be produced from such a thing. Ela olam kiminhago noig vaholich. But the world continues to go as it's meant to go. V'shotim shekilkalu asidin litin asadin. And these shotim that are makalkal, that ruin everything, are going to ultimately pay the price. The Maral in Chidushei Agadlus explains why I need all three mishalims. He says it's in order that if someone is not moded to the early mashal, the later mishalim are supposed to be more powerful. Meaning, if someone is not moded to the original response about the Tzva Shamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to destroy all the constellations and all everything that's going on up in the skies because of the Shotim, so that doesn't answer for those who are Oved Laharim Ulugvaos. That if you have one less mountain in a large mountain, like what difference would that make? You know, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu could destroy that. So, but at least then you'll be moded to the mashal of Gazal Chita Uzra'a, that really it shouldn't be Titzmach, and nevertheless it is Tzomeach, and because all of Karka is Karka, it's all one thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the Karka in place, and Olam Kiminhago Noeg, that there's Karka that you're not supposed to be, Hashem's not going to destroy all the Karka because of the Shotim, and that's a response also to why he's not Ma'abid, the Harim and the Gvaos, because of the Ovdei Harim Gvaos, because it's all one Karka, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to destroy the world. But that is only when it comes to people who are Oved, that's when it comes to Harim Gvaos, things like that. But it does not respond to those who are Oved a particular Avodah Zarah, where there's no Kiyum HaOlam involved at all. Why doesn't Hashem destroy that? That's why he says the mashal about Boalacious Ish, that she becomes pregnant, even though it's an individual case of a guy who went and was Boalacious Ish, and Hashem doesn't prevent the pregnancy, because all of Hanagas HaTeva, it's not only about the constellations that could destroy the whole world, it's not only about the nature of Karka, it's even about particular actions that a single person does, that only affects that person, that's all part of nature, that's all part of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to run his world. V'hainu damrei shlakish, amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo dayin l'rishoyim sh'osin sela shli pumbi, ela shematrichanosi machtimanosi balkorchi. And this last example of someone commits a sin of arayos, and as a result of that, a baby is produced. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that it's not enough for the Rishayim that they make my coin that I've minted a totally hefker, that anyone wants to use the matbeya that I make, meaning the tzur. Normally, a king makes a coin; he mints a coin. His image is on the coin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the tzelem elkim in all of humanity. So a person is going and he's using the tzelem elkim, but they're matriach. They're matriach me to create the Vlad for them and to use my tzelem elokim against my will. And it's all these mamzerim that are walking around with my tzelem elokim. So, but that's the fault of the Rishayim and of nobody else. So says Marashal Polosophos Echad Esram Gamliel, a certain non-Jewish philosopher, Esram Gamliel. Kosub Taraskam, it says in your Torah, Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Ochlahu Kelkana, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is a jealous God. But why is he jealous of those who are Oved Avodah Zarah? Why isn't he Miskane in the Avodah Zarah itself? So Amar lo, Emshel Chamashel Ma'ad Avodam. He says, I'll give you a simple mashal. L'melech Basar V'dam Shailo Ben Echad. Let's say he had a king who had one son. V'osa Ben Oyim Megadolo Sakelev. And that son had a dog. He had that he was raising. V'el lo Shem Al Shem Aviv. And he named the dog after his father. Ukshu Nishba Omer. When he would take a shvua, he would say Bechaye Kelev Abba. He would say, I take a Shavua by the life of my dog, and he would call the dog by his father's name. So Kishashama Melech, when the king hears about his son doing this, Almihu Koes, who's he going to get angry at? Ala Benu Koes or Ala Kelevu Koes? Is he going to get angry at the son, or is he going to get angry at the dog? Haviomer Ala Benu Koes. Obviously, he's going to get angry at the son. The son is the one that's totally being mezalzel in the covenant of his father by naming the dog for his father. He's not going get angry at the dog. The dog didn't do anything. So when it comes to Avodah Zarah as well, Hashem gets angry at those who are Oved Avodah Zarah that do against the Ratzon Hashem and take Shavuos by the mountains and by the stars. He's not going to get angry at the mountains and the stars and the sun, and that they didn't do anything wrong. They were doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing in the Bria. So Amar Lo, the Nachri said, Kelev Atakoreosa, you're referring to the Avodah Zarah as a dog? Valo Yesh Bamamish. But what do you mean? It accomplishes things. It does something. A dog doesn't do anything. So Amar Lo, so Rav Gamliel said, Umari Isa, why do you think an Avodah Zarah does something? Why do you think Yesh Bamamish? So Amar Lo, so the guy said, Pamachas Nafla Deleka Birenu. He said, because one time there was a fire in our city, Vinisra Fakoli Irkula, and the entire city burned down, Vosa Beis Avodah Zarah, Lo Nisraf, and the Beis Avodah Zarah didn't burn down. So don't you see that it's Yesh Bamamish who was able to protect itself from this massive fire? So Rav Gamliel said, let me explain to you with the mashal why that Beis Avodah Zarah did not burn down. You have Melech Pas of Adam that the Medina rebelled against him. When he goes to fight a Melchama with that Medina, who's he going to make? He's going to go fight in the cemetery against all the dead bodies? Or is he going to fight with the living people that are rebelling against him? So he's going to obviously fight the war with the living, not with the dead. There's no sheikhs to fight a war with those that are dead. So the nimshal is that the Avodah Zarah is considered a mace. The Avodah Zarah is dead. It's a nothing. So you don't fight a Muhammad with those that are dead. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring Yisurin that are meant to promote a sense of tshuva, that are meant to get people to punish those who are going against Ratzon Hashem. So you only give those Yisurin to those who are still shaykh to it, to those who have some sort of connection. But the Avodah Zarah is totally gone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to busy himself with that. He's not going to make a melchama with the mesim. So Amar Lo. So now the Nachri got even more insulted. First he gave a mashal of it where the Avodah Zarah in the mashal is a dog. Now he gave a mashal where the Avodah Zarah in the mashal is a dead body. So Amar Lo, kelev at the koreosa, mase at the koreosa, imkeni abden menolav. If you're so convinced that it's a nothing, that it's a dog, that it's a dead body, so let Hashem destroy it. Let him take it out of the world. So Amar Lo, so Rav Gamliel responded that ilu davar shein olam tzarich lo haya ovdin, if they would only worship things that the world did not need, harei umevatla, then you'd be correct. Hashem would destroy it. But harei en ovdin lechama v'lalvana lekochavim lemazalos, they worship the sun, the moon, the stars, all the mazalos, laafikum legayayos, to the springs of water, to the valleys. Yabir olam amnei shotim, Hashem should destroy the world because of the shotim. V'cheinu omer, and that's what the pasuk says. In Sefania, Asof Asaf Kol Me Al Pnei Adam Anu Hashem Asaf Adam Vehema Asaf Of Hashemayim Udge Ayam VaMachshelo Sesar Rishayim. That Hashem is basically saying V'chim Yipnei Sharshayim Nichshalim Bad, because the Rishayim are Nichshal in all these things, in Adam and Vehema and Of Hashemayim and Udge Ayam, by being over these things, Ya'abdei Min Olam, I should get rid of them. V'alola Adam Hein Ovdin, but they also worship people. Should I do that too? Should I get rid of people because they're worshiping people as well? No, you can't respond to every action that a Rasha does. So instead, we'll punish the Rishayim for their actions, for what they had done improperly. So now the Gemara brings a similar Shaila that they asked from Gamliel about the Kinas Hashem against Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So Shaul Agrippas Sar Tzava asked from Gamliel. Agrippas the Sar Tzava asked from Gamliel. So that's what Rashi points out in Dibra Maschal Agrippas, it's to distinguish him. Sartzva Ovid Chavmayim Emuna al Rosh HaGiyasos Ubiyimei Agrippas HaMelech Haya. They called him by his title because he wasn't Agrippas HaMelech, but he had the same name. So in order to say he was also a prominent Agrippas, so they had to call him Sartzva. He happened to be a general. So the Agrippas Sartzva asked from Gamliel, Ksiv B'Taraschem, it says in your Torah about the Yisrael of Avodah Zarah, Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Ochlahu Kel Kana, that Hashem is a jealous God. Well, klum eskane, ela chacham chacham, gibor be gibor, ashir ba ashir. Generally, there's kinah among people of equal stature, meaning that's the way kinah typically works. A person who's an ashir is not going to be jealous of the few dollars that an ani has. A person who's a gibor is not going to be jealous of someone who has much, much less power than him. So again, this Rabbi Gamliel is the one that referred to the Avodah Zarah as a dog, as a mace. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be jealous of something that's a nothing. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu miskani b'Avodah Zarah? So Rabbi Gamliel responded to Agrippas, Em shalucha mashal l'ma adover doma. Let me give you a mashal. La'adam shanasi isha lishto. A man takes a second wife. Not like in contemporary society, but traditionally when men used to marry more than one wife. So when would the first wife get upset about the fact that he took a second wife? When would the first wife not get upset about the fact that he took a second wife? So chashuva mimena e miskanaba. If he takes the second wife and she's more chashuv than the first wife is not going to be jealous of her, because the first wife, her stature was just raised, that this is the kind of quality woman that this guy goes for. So it shows that I must be of up to that level. Pchusa mimena, but if he marries some lowlife as a second wife, miskanaba, she's going to be angry at her husband. Why are you marrying this lowlife? Now it makes me look bad. It makes it look like that we're in the same parsha. So what he's essentially answering is that the kinah is not directed to the avodah zarah, right? Meaning it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is jealous of the kinah doesn't mean jealous of. It means angry at that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at those who are of the avodah zarah, that you worship me as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the God, and then you're going to go to these worthless, meaningless things, and you're going to treat them like a deity, you're going to treat them like a god. So that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's angry. How can you down, aside from the fact that there is one and only God, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, but you're going to go to these things that are nothing, and worship them? So that's what the kinah means over here. So that's what the Marsha points out, that the word kinah can mean two things. It could be the kind of kinah we normally speak of among human beings, which is desirous of something that someone else has, that type of jealousy, or it could be anger, that angry at, and that's the kinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu most often, is that he's angry at that which people are doing that are rebellion against Hashem. So Amar Lei Zunin L'Rabbi Akiva, a person, a Jewish person, Rashi says, named Zunin, said to Rabbi Akiva, and why does he assume he's Jewish? Because of the first line, Libi V'Libcha Yada Davos Chavim Lesbe Mashasha. He says, let's start with the premise. We know that there's nothing to Avodah Zarah, that it's all garbage, it's all empty, there's nothing there. But he says, it happens all the time that people go to the base of Avodah Zarah and they're broken, they're not healthy, and they come out and they're healthy and they're all healed. My taima, why does that happen, considering what we know, considering the premise, the given, that the Avodah Zarah is worthless? So Rabbi Akiva responded, let me give you a mashal. Let's say there was a very trustworthy person in the city, and because everyone knew that he was a trustworthy person, when people would give him a pikadon, no one insisted that there be edim to the pikadon. They knew his word is gold. If you tell him, if you give him X, he's going to give you it right back exactly when you want it, and everything's going to be intact. And then one guy came, and he said, no, I insist that there be edim, meaning I don't trust this guy, I'm going to make sure that there are edim. But that guy who didn't trust this very, very trustworthy fellow and always insisted that there be edim, one time forgot to get edim. So one time he gave a pikadon without edim. So the wife of the Adam Ne'eman, the wife of the very trustworthy person, said to him, teach him a lesson. You should deny having his stuff. He insists on having edim all the time. He calls your integrity into question every single time he gives you something. So this one time you have an opportunity to deny it and to say, yeah, okay, I am what you think I am, and make him lose out. So deny that you owe him anything. So he said to her, is my reputation worth that? Meaning, because this guy is disrespectful to me, so I'm going to uh, I'm going to lose my reputation, I'm going to do something dishonest. So afkach yisurin, so too, that's how yisurin works, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes a person. B'shar sh'mashagun osan al adam, when Hashem imposes yisurin on a person, mashbi'in osan, there's a deal made with the yisurin, shelo telchu el b'yom ploni, that it's only going to attack the person on a particular day, not a day early. V'lo teitu el b'yom ploni, and it's only going to leave the person on a particular day, u'b'sha'a plonis, and at a particular hour, not a moment early, v'al'yidei ploni, and through a particular doctor, v'al'yidei sam ploni, and it's only going to work through a particular treatment or medication. Kiven she'igiyaz manam latzeis, when it comes time for the yisurin to leave, so halach zeh l'beis avod zechavim, it happens to be, that guy shows up, to his beis avod zechavim that day. So amri yisurin, so the yisurin says to Hashem, dinu shlo netzei, I should teach this guy a lesson, I shouldn't leave this guy, I should stick with this guy, because he went to a beis avod zechavim. V'chazin v'omrim, v'chim neshot zeh, asr shlo koge, navar al shvul seinu, because this guy did Shalok Hogan, by going to the base of the Zara, I'm going to violate the Shavua that I have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why people sometimes have a refuah when they go to the Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is Ein Ba Mamish, but it's not because they went to the base of the Zara, it's even though they went to the base of the Zara, the Yisurin are still going to live up to their Shavua, even though they were tempted not to live up to their Shavua, and on account of the fellow going to the base of the Zara. V'ayinu Dam Rabbi Yochanan, and this is aligned with that which Rabbi Yochanan said. Ma'idichsiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says v'chaloyim ra'im v'ne'emanim? It says v'if l'Hashem esmakosecha esmakoscha v'chaloyim ra'im v'ne'emanim ra'im b'shlichusan, that they're sent to a person to be bad for him, to be to punish him. Ne'emanim b'shvuasan, but they are trustworthy in the shvua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with them, that they're going to go on a particular time, they're going to leave at a particular time, and that's how you certain work. That's that they only last as long as they're supposed to last. There's an interesting discussion in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta. He quotes a Chuvas Nishmas Chaim Simon Yud, where he was asked about the bracha of Rifa'inu in Shmona Esrei, where the conclusion of the bracha is Rofei Chalei Amo Yisrael. L'chora, it should have said Rofei Chal Basar, right? Hashem only cures Amo Yisrael. He doesn't cure Chal Basar, all of humanity. After all, in Asher Yatzar we say Baruch Ata Hashem Rofei Chal Basar, that Hashem is Rofei all Basar, and the Achronim write that the Magen Avram writes that you shouldn't say Rofei Chol Basar Rofei Chole Chol Basar, you should say Rofei Chol Basar, because not everyone is Cholim. So what happened with Shmon Esrei? We say Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael. So not only do we limit it to Amo Yisrael, we limit it to Chole Amo Yisrael. So he explains based on our sugya. He says, wait, this whole sugya that we're saying, that every time Yisurin comes to a person, there's a deal that you go on this day and you leave on that day, and it doesn't matter what else happens, and nothing is, you never leave a day early, the Yisurin have to stick it out, they have to be there the entire time, they don't leave a day late. He says, is that really the way it works for the Jewish people as well? The Yisurin can never leave a day early with all of our tefillah, all of our Torah, with everything. What are we doing? We're saying Tehillim, we're davening that people should have a refuah shleima. What's it going to accomplish if there's a shavua that they're not allowed to leave, early? So he says, no, it must be that there's a difference between Jewish people and non-Jewish people, that when it comes to a Jewish person, the Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael, that even if Lefi HaShavua they're still Cholim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Merape them, even though they really are Al Pi V'Shavua, they still are Cholim, but that's only Ba'amo Yisrael. So that's the two brachas. So we say Rofei Chol Basar, that's Bizmanam. Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael is even Kodem Zmanim. So for Kol Basar, that happens when it's supposed to happen. Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael is Kodem Zmanim. And he says that's the word Samuch to the Chasima, Rofei Ne'eman Virachaman Ata. What's Ne'eman Virachaman? So Ne'eman is that there's a Shavua. It's supposed to leave when it's supposed to leave, and it's going to live up to what it's supposed to do. Virachaman is that when it comes to Chole Amo Yisrael, there's also going to be this level of rachmanus that it could be yotze kodem zmano, and that's okay. So that's the insight based on this Gemara. Amalei Rava Bar Yitzchak Rav Yehuda Ha'ika Beis Avodas Chachavim Ba'Asrin. He says, you know, there's a Beis Avodas Zara in our town. That whenever the world needs rain, Mischazile B'Cholma, the Avodas Zara appears in a dream. Va'amaluhu Shachtuli Gavra, and it demands to shecht a person Va'isi Mitra, and then it will make it rain. Shacht and guess what? They go and they slaughter a person, and rain comes. So I'm so glad you asked me this question while I'm still alive, because if I would have been dead, I would not have been able to answer this kasha. And this is not a good kasha for you to be walking around with. So I'm glad I have an opportunity to address this question. What does the pasuk mean when it says, "Asher chalak Hashem elokecha osam lechol ha'amim"? What's the lashon of chalak? Melamit shechlikon bedvarim. That Hashem tricks the nations of the world, that makes it, and He makes it look like that the Avodah Zarah has some substance to it, that there's some meaning to it, and therefore He gives them an opening to be able to violate the sin of Avodah Zarah, kidei l'tardam min ha'olam, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could punish them when they do just that. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it rain when they shecht this person, just to give them enough room to believe in the Avodah Zarah, so that they could be punished for following the Avodah Zarah. V'ayinu dam reish lakish, maydech siv. What does the pasuk mean when it says in Mishlei, im leleitzim hu yalitzu la navim yitein chayin, that if a person wants to be mitameh, so he'll have an opening. He'll always have an opening to do what he wants to do. But if a person wants to be mitayr himself, wants to refrain from averos, so mesayenos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him. That's ulanavim yitein chein. Not only that, he'll allow it to happen. That's when it comes to mitameh. He'll allow it to happen. He'll give room for it to happen. He'll give space for it to happen. No, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help go in that direction. He's going to push in that direction. Lanavim Yitain chayin. So okay, so now we move on to the next mission. The Tiferes Tzol points out on the Mishnayos that the Mishnayos from here until the end of the parak talk about Yayin Esech. So really, it should have been part of the next parak, which deals with the dinim of Yayin Esech. But it's brought in this perek so that the perek shouldn't conclude with the rayas of the mistakes of Ovdei Avodah Zarah that think that the Avodah Zarah has power to it. Meaning that would have been a bad way to end the perek of Mishnayis, to talk about how someone asks a question of why is it that Avodah Zarah is able to heal, and why is it that that Hashem doesn't destroy the Avodah Zarahs. We don't want to end with those questions, so we already start the conversation about the din of Yayin. So Lokhan Gaspu Utominovit Chavim, you're allowed to buy from a Nachri a wine press with the grapes that are in it that have already been trampled on. Even though they've already been trampled on, so some juices are coming out of the grapes. Afal Pishu Notal Diado, even though after the Bi'ita is the Dricha, it's when he steps on them to crush the grapes, he takes the grapes by hand that have been crushed to throw the dregs in the pile. Vinosin l'tapuach, to put it in the pile that's underneath the beam that's going to press down on it in order to really get out every last bit of juice from those grapes. So you see, he's touching it by hand, and apparently that's not a problem. We're not worried about the fact that we're not worried about it being yayin nesach, because it's not yet at the stage of yayin. It's not yet considered to be yayin at that point. In time, the Rishonim point out, the Rashi and the Rizva point out that it tells us even though he takes it by hand, so that you shouldn't think that the reason for the heter is because he only touched it with his feet. And even though yes, it's yayin as soon as juice comes out of it, but it's not called maga of yayin when he only touches it with his feet. So he said no. Even though he picked it up with his hands, he touched it with his hands. So there's real maga over here. There's real touching of the yayin. But the point is that it's not yayin yet. That's the heter over here. That it's not considered yayin at that point. Ve'ino osa yayin nesach at sheyirid lebar. It only becomes yayin as far as yayin nesach is concerned, that it could become yayin nesach when the guy touches it, when it goes into the bar, into the pit where the wine gathers near the wine press, that after it's been pressed down by the beam. So only then is it considered yayin. Otherwise, just considered fruit juice. Yirid lebar, once it goes down into the bar, masha bebar aser. So whatever is in that bar is going to be aser. Maser, but Vashar Mutter. But whatever, if he touched the wine that didn't yet make its way down to the bar, and the, apparently the Chiddush over here is even though it started its pathway toward the bar, so it started dripping down toward the bar, but it didn't yet land in the bar, then it's going to be Mutter. And Rashi says Mutter means you're allowed to drink it. It doesn't just mean that it's not an Isra No, it's a Mutter by Na, and it's Mutter B'Shtia. Now Tosos quotes that Rabbeinu Shmaya explains that Mutter means Mutter by Na, but it's still going to be Asr B'Shtia. And he says that which you're allowed to buy a Gaspu Uta from the Nachri, the first din in the Mishnah, is also just that it's Mutter to be Nene from it. But the grapes that are crushed in the Gas, they're going to be Asr B'Shtia. That's what Tosos quotes from Rabbeinu Shmaya. However, Rabbeinu Elchanan asks on Rabbeinu Shmaya that from the Lashon of Lokchin, it sounds like it's totally Mutter. You're allowed to buy it and treat it as you would. And therefore, it's more likely, like Rashi said, that it's Mutter even B'Shtia. Now, the Yerushalmi says that there is a Tanai for this Heter in the Mishnah, that it has to be that a Jew is watching the Gas the entire time, from the time the guy starts crushing the grapes, and didn't take his eyes off of it. So he saw that the guy was not Moshech any Yayin from it into the bar, and put back the Yayin from the bar back into the Gas. Because if he did that, then the whole thing would trafe up the whole thing. So you have to at least know the Metzius, that this wine was never in the bar, that the wine that's in the Gas was never yet in the bar at the end of the line. And some of the Rishonim quote that qualification from the Yerushalmi. Okay, but so far what we said in the Mishnah is, when is it considered Yayin? Only when it's in the bar, not when the grapes are mixed with the juices that have just come out of it, nor when the juices are on the way down into the bar. Only when it's in the bar is it considered Yayin. Now the Mishnah says some dinim relating to Tumah. Dorchim ima ovid kochavim begas. You're allowed to crush grapes to make wine together with the nachri in the wine press, and to get paid to help him in his wine press. And we don't consider that to be that you're getting hana'a from an isra hana'a of yayin nasech, because kol zman that it didn't go into the bar, it's not yet yayin. Aval lo botzrin imo. But you're not allowed to harvest grapes from his vineyard with the intention of then bringing it to the wine press, because putting the grapes into the wine press, l'shem dricha, and making wine, and it is going to bring about the tumah of that produce, because as soon as the nachri steps on it, he's going to be metame it, because as soon as juice comes out of it, it's machshir the grapes to be makabel tumah. So by you helping the nachri in the betzira, you're causing tumah. So you're not allowed to be gorim tumah to chulin in Eretz Yisrael. When you're helping him at the wine press, you know, paradoxically, I would think when you're helping at the wine, that's when he's actually being metame it. Yeah, but then it's too late. Was already mitame. So you're not helping him be mitame, it's already tame. But when you're helping him harvest the grapes that are going to go to the wine press, that is being gorim the tuma. You're not allowed to be gorim tuma to even chulin in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah explains Yisrael shu osa bituma, a Jew who deals with tuma and who makes things tame, lo dorchen vilo botrinimo. That you're not allowed to do anything with him. You're not allowed to crush his grapes with him to make the yayin, because you're not allowed to be mitame chulin Eretz Yisrael, and the Sira's Makarev, the bringing of the grapes to the wine press, and is also Gorim Tumah. But over here, the crushing of the grapes is also Asr, even though at the beginning of the crushing it's already Tameh, but since the Dricha is what's Gorim the Tumah, so by the fact that the Mashka comes out and it's going to be Machshir the Anavim to be Makabel Tumah, and then right away it's going to become Tameh from the Kalim and from the guy, the Yisrael that's not careful about Tumah, that's called Mesech. So why is it that it's mutter to help the guy with the dricha, but it's not mutter to help the Jew with the dricha? Either way, it's going to become tamei. So, and you're not allowed to be metame chulin in Eretz Yisrael. No, because by the guy, it's already tamei anyway. So you're not causing any tuma to chulin in Eretz Yisrael. By the Jew also, you're not causing any tuma to the chulin. But the Jew, in being metame, it is violating avera, and you're helping him do his avera. The guy has no dinim of tuma. The guy is. He's being metame the chulin, but the guy doesn't have an iser to be metame anything. So you're not misayel de over avera. So there are two things over here. One, I'm not allowed to bring produce in Eretz Yisrael, even chulin, toward tuma. So that's why it's ain botzrin. And number two is, even if the tuma is going to be inevitable, it's happening anyway. And I'm not, but I'm not allowed to help someone who's in the middle of doing that avera. That only applies to a Jew. Aval malichin imo chavios legas umavin imo minagas. But you're allowed to bring barrels to the wine press for him, if that's your job, that's what he's paying you to do, and you can bring the full barrels of yayin from the wine press, because then it's already tameh, so there's no aveira in bringing the barrels to fill up with tameh wine. You're not being metameh anything, you're not helping with the aveira, you're just finding a place to put all this tameh wine. Nachtom, similarly, when it comes to a baker, a person who kneads the dough and prepares the dough, shu osa betuma, that he's osek in the dough and tuma, lo loshin v'lo orchinimo. You shouldn't knead the dough with him, nor arrange the loaves with him, because you're not allowed to be mesayeya, someone who's causing tuma. Avol malich no mopas the palter. But once it's already done, you could bring it to the place where they're going to bake it in the oven, because now it's just about transporting that which is already tameh anyway, and that's mutter. So it says the Gemara, Amr Ravuna. Ravuna is the following chiddush: Yayin kivin sheyischoli mashech ose yayin nesach. Ravuna says, you know when something becomes yayin? The second it starts dripping out of the grapes and it starts going down toward the bar. It's already yayin at that stage, which was against everything we said in the Mishnah. Right? In the Mishnah we said only when it's in the bar, it's yayin. So the Gemara challenges Ravuna three times. Challenge number one: Tanan lochem gas buto menovik chavim ve'af pishnatol biyadav nasan tapuach. You're allowed to buy a wine press full of crushed grapes from the Ovid Chavim, even though by hand he pulls out the crushed grapes and he puts it onto the tapuach where it's going to be crushed further by the beam. But apparently that doesn't make a yayin nesach, even though it already started its path. When the Mishnah says that it doesn't make a yayin esach, that's talking about where they plugged up the pipe that empties down into the bar. So it's not really on a passageway toward the bar. And that's why it's not yet yayin. But if it's an open pipe where if you were to have left it alone, the yayin would have gone straight down into the bar, then ein achinami, even prior to going to the bar, it would already have a din of yayin. It would already be problematic. So that's question number one again. Ravuna and Ravuna's defense. So it says, okay, but you got to read weiter in the Mishnah. Toshima, it says in the Hemshech of the Mishnah, Ve'eino osa yayin esech ad sheyere the bar. Right? As clear as can be. It only becomes yayin esech once it's in the bar. Not like you, Ravuna, are saying that when it's on the way down toward the bar, it's already yayin esech. So answers Ravuna, Hachnami, Begas Pekuko Malaya. That the Hemshech of the Mishnah is also talking about where the yayin that's not yet in the bar is where the is never going to go to the bar because it's plugged up. The pipe that would lead it down is plugged up. But ein achinami, if the pipe were not plugged up and it would be destined to go right into the bar, then it's yayin the second that you crush it. So these are very relevant halachos. At what point something becomes, you know, someone I was just reading Rabbi Fishbein from the CRC, runs the kashrus there, said that they were doing a Pesach hotel and they were making smoothies, and someone noticed that they had grapes as one of the fruits that the Nachri was putting into the smoothie machine. It was on, I assume, Chol HaMoed. So you notice that there was grapes. So there was a whole shaila. Is that going to be Yayin Esach? Is it not going to be Yayin Esach? Pashlis is not. But nevertheless, okay, at least you got to know something. You got to know when is something considered to be Yayin, when the juice comes out of a grape. Okay, number three, Tashma, another raya, also from our Mishnah. Yor the bar, once the wine goes down into the bar, masha bar aser vashar mutter. Whatever's in the bar is aser, but whatever's not yet in the bar is mutter. And don't tell me that this is where it's pakak, where it's whatever. It's talking about that which is in the bar and that which is on its way to the bar. So apparently, even though it's on its way to the bar, it's not yet aser. So Rafuna lo kasha, kan b'mishna rishona, kan b'mishna achrona. The chacham changed their mind at some point in history. There's a mishna rishona over here and a mishna achrona. Ditanya, the brisa says, Barishona you omrim badad. Initially they said three halachas about betzira, dricha, and dricha. That's badad. And number one, ein botzrin imal v'chavim begas, shasa lugam tumma l'chulin shaver tzol. You're not supposed to harvest grapes with an Ovid Chavim, as we learned in the Mishnah, because that's going to be causing tuma to chulin in Eretz Yisrael. Number two is ve'in dorchin im Yisrael sha'osa peiros betuma. You're not allowed to be dorich together with a Jewish person who's making his peiros betuma, because that's misayel sha'osa l'sayel day over Avera, because you're helping him cause the Tumah. And number three, Aval Dorchim over Chavim the Gas, you're allowed to be Dorich together with the Goy on the Gas, because it's already Tameh. Lo Chashin L'Dravuna. We're not Choshesh, that's not an Isra of Istakros B'Yayin Esach, because we're not Choshesh for that which Ravuna says, that it's already Yayin at that point. So the Mishnah Rishona was, it's not already Yayin at that point. And then V'Chazru Lomar Debav. And then they said, three halachas of Dorchim, Botsim, Botsim in the Mishnah Achrona, that ain't Dorchim and Ovid Chavim Begas, that you're not allowed to be Dorich with the Ovid Chavim in the Gas. Not that it's Mutter, that it's Aser. Why? Mishum Dravuna, because Ravuna says that's considered to be Yayin Esach. And that in Botsim and Yisol, Shosu Peros and Betuma, you're not allowed to harvest with the Yisrael that's making his Peros Betuma, because you're bringing Tumah to Yisrael, the Kolshkein Shein Dorchim, and obviously you're not allowed to be Dorich the Anavim with him, because that's certainly being Misayel de Over Avera, Avil Botsim, Ovid Chavim Begas, Shemutu Ligram Tumah Luchul and Shabaretz Yisrael. But this Mishnah Achrona says you're allowed to harvest grapes together with the Nachri because it's mutter to be Gorim Tuma to Chulin in Eretz Yisrael. You're just not allowed to be Misayeya in the Avera of Yayin Esach, but you're allowed to be Botzer together with the Ovid Chavim in the Gas, because that's only an issue of being Gorim Tuma. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up the two dots on the top of Nun Vav Amud Aleph.